You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We really appreciate it. We're glad you're here. We hope you have a good time. If you do, we would love it if you told the world about us. It would mean the world to me and the whole gang. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the voodoo to my hoodoo, my dear friend, Andy. Oh. How do you do, Andy?
Piss. I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm having a good week.
First piss.
Get that out of the way real quick.
Our silent partner, Nate, is with us, as he is each and every week, making the sound happen. And Andy, it's getting to be that summertime season. And before we jump into the episode, I don't normally do this, but you know how much I like a good summer driving tune. And I got a couple quick recommendations I want to make to the listeners, because there's been some...
You do love driving and listening to music.
I just have this vibe when it gets warm of, you know, picture a day at the river or the beach, and you're driving home, and you've been, like, playing in the water and in the sun. You've had three beers, and the window's down, and you're quiet, and it's the sun is setting. That's the magic hour, and there's a certain kind of music that goes along with that time. And there's been two that have been in heavy rotation for me this week. Probably everybody knows about them, but there's this band called Quilt that I came across. They're kind of an indie psych with like a pop leaning, great vocals on it. They have a 2016 album called Plaza that is a real hot jam all the way through. But there's a song called Roller that's real poppy and really fun. I would recommend people listen to. Also, there's a band out of the UK called Abjects. Have you heard of the Abjects?
No. This is all new to me.
They're great. It's just kind of like garage rock with a little punk edge to it. They put out an album, I think this February, called Never Give Up, and that's been in heavy rotation. So, you know, it's the driving season out there in the Northwest. So I would suggest the Abjects as well as Quilt if you're looking for something to groove to.
Nice.
This is groovy.
I love those Drew recommendations.
I'll throw some in there. I've been getting a little bit deeper into my music discovery game, so I'll do what I can. I'm a little more obvious than you, though, so I don't know if I'm bringing the value.
If I'm driving, my window's rolled down, I've had that many beers, it's strictly Roots, and it's probably Augustus Pablo or maybe some Roots Radix.
Andy, I've been reading the author Marlon James wrote a book called A Brief History of Seven Killings, which is about the attempted assassination of Bob Marley in the 70s, in 1976, I think.
Whoa, you really are getting into reggae.
So it's all about like Jamaica around that time and like the violence and the political scene there. It has made me a little bit more interested in reggae. So maybe it's books and literature that are actually my gateway.
That is not the way I would have thought.
Into rub-a-dubbin.
Yeah. Nice.
And I learned through that book, Babylon, bad thing. Yeah. Had no idea.
Turns out,
that's the man, right?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, Babylon does suck.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I know that and that we can endorse anti-Babylon on this show.
You know what else sucks? Crazy bald heads.
In the reggae world or just in general?
Just in Bob Marley songs in general. He's not down with bald heads.
Okay. I haven't gotten to that part of the book yet, so spoiler alert on that one. This week, it was a great episode, Andy. We had Glacial Fall on the show, and they are, how do we succinctly describe that? They're doomy, atmospheric, kind of ambient heavy music. But as they say in the episode, there is some hope and optimism and kind of uplifting feeling to it. And we had a great time with them talking about, you know, our normal bullshit, but they're really awesome. They incorporate very natural, organic sounds from nature into some of their recording. And we talk about that process, and we get to go deep on some really long, grooving songs. So
yeah, great music. As always. But this week was especially good shit.
And I think it's, you know, if people are like me and you come from my musical background, this stuff is all kind of new. And I'm dipping my toes into these waters, and it's really awesome to hear something I don't hear very much of. And I think you're going to enjoy the music and our conversation with Heidi and Jeremy from Glacial Fall. They are playing Stumpfest this year here in Portland, Oregon at Mississippi Studios on April 19th. I think as this episode comes out, that'll be your next chance to see them live.
Hopefully and you already have tickets to that shit because it is selling out.
Yeah, for sure. They'll get those because it's a great lineup, but Glacial Fall will be an excellent part of that that evening on April 19th. So in preparation for that live event, enjoy our episode and conversation with Heidi and Jeremy from Glacial Fall on this week's episode of Hot Garbage.
Well, first, bad timing.
I think the real deal is we need to come out with some new STDs, and then we can name them whatever we want.
Designer STDs.
Yeah, we need some new designer ones.
If you can have designer drugs, then goddamn it.
We have to figure STDs. Out. We have to figure out a new way to do it so that it can give us different diseases, like some kind of like earwax thing, or like I don't know, what other weird bodily secretions can fuck you up.
Do you imagine that there would be advantages to having a different kind of STD versus the ones that we have?
No, I just want to give them cool nicknames.
Oh, I see. You just want,
and they have to be new. To
name them. They've got to be. I mean, if they're new too, it could be like X-Men. Like, I want my STDs to give me superpowers.
That would be a really good side effect.
Like, okay, so you're gonna have to be with this one person forever or alone, but you can fly.
That would be sweet, but I think it would be more like you had sex with this person, and now your pee burns through linoleum.
Or you end up
you're
with
a bank
like
robber.
Yeah.
Metal claws coming out of your genitals.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that'd be sick. Yeah. That'd be so fucking metal.
Sorry, I got aroused.
Yeah. That'd be a real problem.
Aroused.
Well, also, those, I mean, these are great STDs, don't get me wrong. But they don't align with cuddly names like the hug or the clap or whatever we were thinking of.
I think that's just like your perspective, man.
You're right. You're right. I guess
the claw.
Yeah, dude, the claw. Yeah,
the claw is pretty cool.
The claw is pretty. It sounds
or with like the acid pee one, you could call it like venom or something. Yeah. I don't know. That actually sucks. Don't use that name.
The green rope.
That's what I'm thinking. Oh, that paints a fucking picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a little too vivid.
Or like she gave me the green rope.
I guess I would rather have chlamydia than green rope.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather have grass pancake.
Grass pancake.
Yeah. Which one's that? That sounds
that's where
rectal.
Your pubic hair grows to a certain length and then it turns like brown and dies and falls off like grass.
Wait, that's not normal?
Like summer yard?
Does it come back in the spring?
Yeah, it does. It grows back. It just only grows to a certain length. And there's, I don't know where the pancake part comes in.
Winter though. Moss?
Yeah. Spring, you just got to trim real heavy.
Yeah. 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 You swear you're going to maintain it, but you really know you're going to do it one time. Yeah, yeah.
It's covered in crabgrass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got crabgrass. You're never going to be able to cut through that.
Yeah, he's got crabgrass in his summer lawn. That's the twofer.
Well, it's like crabs. Like, when you look at like the cartoon character drawings of like funny shirts about crabs, they're always like legit happy crabs.
Yeah, they look.
They never look bummed or angry.
Sure, you don't
several
see very
baseball
many angry
hats
crabs.
That
crabs
are crab
have gotta be stoked.
Yeah, they're fucking dope, dude.
It's like it's warm. It's a jungle.
My hands
that's
are weapons.
Perfect.
Yeah, I watch a lot of nature shows. And David Attenborough is always talking about this one island that's just, like, crabs. Like, the whole fucking island is crabs. There's all kinds of different kinds, and they all just, like, live on land and, like, go to the ocean a second and come back.
Oh, I think I've seen those ones where they migrate from the jungle to the ocean.
Yeah, and then ants eat them alive
and
shit.
Yeah, but then they got the acid-spitting yellow crazy ants.
The crazy ants, yeah. It's good times.
Yeah, nature is a lot more fucked up than our fake STDs.
Yeah.
It's doing the work for us.
Thanks, Mom.
So have you guys ever been, this is not musical, you can take it however you want, but I've been thinking about it recently. Have you ever been in one of those moods where maybe you've got a lot of stuff you know you should be doing or a lot of stuff you might like to be doing, but you can't decide on what to start with or what to do, and you end up just like pacing around your house or your apartment and you don't commit to anything, and then it's like 8:00 at night and you've wasted a whole day and you feel really bummed out.
And then you do a podcast.
That is not today. I had sort of a weekend like that, but I'm wondering if that's a common thing, and then how you guys like get yourself out of that funk as people. This is an opportunity to lend some advice, or maybe I'm just like slightly depressed.
I don't know. I can only speak for myself, but I think we're both like hella busy people. So I do find myself sometimes going shit. I don't know which one to do, like. But then it's the scattering amongst doing four or five things until you've settled on the one that really needs to get done.
So you just dive in first when faced with a multitude of options.
Yeah, well, I think that, like, yeah, same. Like, we both have, you know, like, our service industry jobs, and then Jeremy builds gear, and I have a screen print shop, and then we have the band, and we're, you know, it's always fucking a million things. He's got a kid, all this stuff. But it's just, like, I have these little moments of, like, pacing around and being, like, kind of stressed out and frustrated and anxious about it. And then I start to get really depressed. And if I don't start doing something, I'm going to curl up into a ball and die. And then that's a whole day wasted. And then 8 o'clock will come around. I'll be like, fuck, I just got to do it. And then work until like 5 a.m. and then just ruin my whole week. You know, so it's like, if I don't start doing this now, it's going to suck for like days because there's fallout.
That's funny. I'm on the other side of it. What I do is I say, okay, I'm going to do some of that stuff, but first I'm going to smoke a joint.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then I smoke that joint.
And that removes all the responsibility.
And then I drink a beer, and then I go to a show. Okay. That's what I do. And I feel way better. I feel way better, and then I'm like, man, I can't wait till I get to that stuff. And then I just go at it all into like a flurry, and I do half of everything.
Do you find that the more you have to do, the more live music you see?
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's a ratio that also like piles up too, because the work continues to be there.
Yeah,
and there's always live music.
And also, I mean, I kind of give myself that as like a reward. Like I'll buy like tickets to shit, so I'm like, well, now I have to go to it. So I definitely have to get those things done before I can go to that show.
That's responsible.
So I gotta give myself a little treat. You gotta give yourself a present in the future.
Yeah,
with creativity and creative people who have, you know, do something like you guys do as a kind of a passion thing, it is hard to juggle all your responsibilities. But are you the type of people who thrive on being busy? Do you get energy from having a lot of different projects that you're taking on? Or sometimes is it just too much?
I'm a workaholic.
Yeah.
Like straight up, like I'm not going to try to be cute about it. Like if I don't have stuff going, I get really stressed out. Also, because a lot of that stuff is directly tied to like financial income, so it's like, well, if I'd be like stressing out about stuff and not getting it done, then I'm not getting paid.
Right.
So it's like this continual loop of stuff. But yeah, like I gotta have a million projects going. I just feel worthless.
Yeah, I enjoy the tons of projects as well, and then the once every month or two, just like, all right, today's a day off. We're going to the woods.
Yeah. That shit's like, important, though, too.
Peace out. No responsibilities today. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Shut off the faucet for a specific amount of time.
It's like, I've been working enough 16-hour days.
Yeah. But the woods days are the best days, and that's where, like, most of our stuff comes from. Like, like all the visual stuff, all the music stuff's all nature-based, so it's really great to get out and, like, get lost.
Well, we have a lot to talk about in terms of your process and the sounds that you incorporate into your music, but you guys play what I think is a pretty unique style of kind of heavy ambient doom music, and I don't know if all of our audience will have a lot of familiarity with that, so I wanted to start off by playing one of your songs so we can give people a sample of what they're, you know, what you guys are all about, and then we can kind of talk about it in a little more detail. I know that you had an album that came out, or an EP that came out about February of 2018, which is available for everyone to purchase on Bandcamp, and I recommend that they do. And I know you're working on some new material, but let's play something off of that last one. Tell us about the song you'd like to kick us off with tonight.
Do you want to do Coastlines?
Yeah.
Coastlines is probably, it would be the last song that we wrote out of all the ones that are on the EP, I believe. But it's kind of the most well-rounded as far as quiet, pretty parts with like the real thick and heavy, and like taking you on a journey.
Oh, excellent.
So, and then that song's kind of all about the glaciers melting, and then there's this guy that we've got that's the Sound Reaper that takes all the sounds of man and helps Mother Nature just get the fuck rid of people.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's a job that, I mean, can you apply for that job? Is that a rotating position?
I feel like I'm building my resume daily.
Yeah, that's
more of a position you ascend to than get hired to.
You find you are that all of a sudden.
The pay is low, but the rewards are great.
Yeah. Well, let's check this out. Remind me what the name of this track is again.
Coastlines.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh shit! Your daughter's in the Front Hedgehogs.
Yeah.
Nice. I really want them to like really keep that going because I love that name.
That name.
We did
so
have to ask Hazel that she was showing us her vocals that you guys recorded over there for something. And we were just like, dude, these are great. And then we were just like, but what's Maisie do? Like, you said you're in a band. And she was just like, well, we're not sure yet.
I set up a keyboard for her. Apparently she didn't do anything with it.
Yeah, she was just like, Maisie knows how to play the keyboard.
That's awesome.
How old were you guys when you played in your first band?
14 or 15.
And I would have been like 19.
Yeah. I was in bands and stuff like when I was in high school and then a little bit after high school. And then I just didn't play music at all for like 15 years.
Really?
And then we started Glacial Fall. And so it's like really bad stage fright. And like there's that thing where like you're supposed to pick a thing. Like you're either a visual artist or you're a musician. And I got kind of stuck in that for a long time. Now it's just like, I just want to do everything.
So you felt as if there was a time when you needed to make a choice. And because of things like the stage fright, you went to the visual art
route. Totally.
Okay.
But now, like, art shows, like, sitting through an art show is, like, the most nerve-wracking thing I can think of. Like, having to talk, like, have, like, little conversations with people about, like, pictures of your feelings is fucking brutal, man.
My sister Megan went to art school, and she transferred out here, and she went to PNCA, mm-hmm. and, she told me that was the worst part. She's like, man, I make this art, and then I have to go up and explain it. And the people that do really well, their art isn't even that good. They're just really good at bullshitting and making it seem like it's really important. She's like, my stuff could be amazing, but if I can't back it up with words, nobody fucking buys my bullshit, you know?
I went to PNCA, too, and the first time through my thesis, didn't pass my thesis because you've got to get above a C minus in all areas. Mm-hmm. And pretty much in the orals, they were just kind of like, you make absolutely wonderful art, but this is college and it's academia. You gotta talk the talk. Mm-hmm. And so my second time through, I made like absolutely horrible art, but like it was all within a system to be able to talk about it.
What's weird about that is you make art of all kinds to take an abstract feeling and give it some shape. The art is supposed to be the expression of what you're saying. It's supposed to replace words. And that's why people can bring their own things to it and you can share it. And it can still be honest without you being able to tell some. That seems like a very strange thing to teach.
Capitalism,
teach the opposite of, you know?
Capitalism has a lot to do with that.
I suppose.
Because you have to be able to, like, you know, the goal is to, like, you know, sell enough to certain people and certain collectors to, like, yeah.
And collectors so want to feel like they're in the know.
It's all kind of weird. And mm-hmm. yeah, I like doing like, you know, shirts and like band stuff because mm-hmm. someone just likes a picture and they just want it.
Right.
And then that's just kind of where it ends. And that's dope.
Yeah.
Like,
and what's great about that is it's everyone is enjoying it, but everyone is getting something different out of it.
Totally.
The image that mm-hmm. I respond to and you respond to, we are both responding to two different things, but we're both liking this thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is sort of the purpose of art in the community sense, is to share an experience, even if it's a different mm-hmm. experience.
That's absolutely why I like sticker art so much.
Yeah.
And I love it because also it's got like a timeline. Mm-hmm. It's not going to last forever. And when it's gone, it's gone. I mean, a lot of people who do sticker art will do one run of a image, you know, and then that one's around for a summer.
Yeah.
And then it's gone. It's really cool.
It's super cool. No. And it's got that like sneaking around superhero thing to it too, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What pulled you back to music after that pretty long hiatus?
We were hanging out and talking about our feelings because, that's what we do. I hadn't plugged in an instrument in like all these years, and I was having a really rough time. And Jeremy was like, "Oh, come down to the basement and like just play for a minute and, you know, put your forehead on the orange cab and let your brains rattle, and you won't care about like how rough you're feeling. It'll just like work it all out." And like I hadn't plugged in an instrument in forever, and did, and was just like, because we talked about doing a project of some sort, and I was just like, yeah, I need this in my life again, like, and forgot how good it felt. And now, like, you know, we practice twice a week, and if I don't have that, I definitely feel the mental health impacts of that. Mm-hmm. It just gets it all out.
I have no visual artistic ability at all, but I do find that getting to play live music, even if it's like a shitty day of practice and we don't sound good, it does have, it's like working out and eating a good meal and just like things kind of fall away naturally. Is that the same in visual art? Can you lose yourself in the process of an image or a painting or whatever it is? Okay, so yeah. they're similar itches that get scratched.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of like the visual art stuff I do now is production work for like screen printing stuff. So like, it's general. I don't draw as much as I should, and you usually only draw if I have a job. So it's kind of a job, you know.
Got yeah.
And so music's still just fucking fun. And like, I get to go yell if like I'm having a bad day, and it just makes it all better.
Well, I do feel a little guilty now that you guys have set the table this way, because I, you know, this is a talking show, so unfortunately we have to talk about your music a little bit in words.
Sorry.
so we'll try to soften the blow. The song we are just listening to is like an experience, because your songs are all pretty long, and what I would like you guys to try to tell us is, I know your songs evolve and kind of iterate over time. How do you go from the beginning of a song to when you know the song is done? What is that process of moving through building that 10-minute journey we just took?
Well, we use a sampler for all the drums and like random backing sounds. And usually the way we've been writing, that comes second. So it's kind of a real slow process of just getting real stoned at band practice and like riffing for a long time for like several weeks or a few months.
Yeah.
And then there seems to be like enough pieces that it's like, okay, we've got these components. We think we've got a general order. Now let's throw a backbone in it and work out all the stuff on the sampler. And then really shortly after that, usually the song like has a few things that you'll like, I don't know, you just feel where it's weak or like needs more, needs less in an area.
Does that become a conversation between the two of you, or is it just something you guys kind of intuit together?
Oh, yeah. Well, some of both. Like, we vibe pretty well together, but there's also long-ass conversations about, like, okay, well, we've worked on these two riffs and this bridge for, like, a month, and it either winds up getting completely cut from the song, or we'll do it, like, twice, and then move on to this other thing that we've jammed on forever, and, like, trying to shave them down into like parts. But now we have a new drum machine that like we can live make the beats live, like, so I can play a riff and Jeremy can make a beat and we can swap, and like it moves along faster.
Oh, I see. So yeah. You can kind of improvise a little bit.
Streamlining.
Nice, yeah. Nice. Efficiencies. It is the modern world.
Gotta
it
do
is.
That stuff.
So that's another area that I'm always torn personally. I used to really be against the long song. Just as a listener, it would be something that if I was trying to get into a new band.
He was very much adamant about that early on in this podcast. It was kind of.
I was.
We're keeping this podcast short. Like, I like my songs. 2.5 minutes.
But my tastes are just changing. I'm getting exposed to new kinds of music. But for the two of you, what is the value to you of making a, kind of a 10, 12 minute song?
I guess. For me, I've always been in bands where our songs are at least like 7 minutes or longer. And I think part of it's just writing slower riffs, or a riff that takes longer to work itself all the way through and resolve, like, to where it's repeating again, that you naturally want to play it 4 times, and all of a sudden that's 2.5 minutes. And you don't just want a song that's one riff. So you stack 3 or 4 things together, and all of a sudden you've got a 10-minute long song.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, you know, always played in punk bands and stuff. So, like, yeah, short songs, like, get through, like, yell as much as possible, and it's done. Mm-hmm. And I always kind of wanted more out of it. And I like, you know, like psych and heavy psych, and I like shit that takes a minute, you know. So it's in a sludge and doom and all that stuff. I like a story that unfolds. So it's kind of nice to have the time to do all that now. So just like blasting through. I still do love like hella short punk songs though.
Yeah.
So it's like brevity is sometimes really important.
I think it's a learned thing. It was learned for me. I guess my exposure to different kinds of music started from such a narrow place that it's still widening out. So I'm kind of learning how to get into that vibe. But psych music was something that really kind of opened my eyes to that. Just to the kind of bright droniness of a really good psych riff is it lulls you in. What I love about your stuff is you were talking about the kind of the long looping riffs. I love how there's several points where the riffs don't resolve in your songs, and you keep waiting for that next note, but it's, you know, three or four progressions down the line. That's really satisfying if you get into that kind of headspace.
Yeah.
Let me put you guys in a headspace here.
Put us in a headspace.
I was going to save this song for the catbird seat at the end, but it's so relevant to what we were talking about. I got to play it. This is by a song from a Bay Area artist named Spelling. That's with three L's. So you can find it on the internet. So
yeah,
Spelling with three L's. Her real name is Christia Cabral. And
I was hoping it was Tori Spelling.
She was in a bunch of bands and stuff in high school, and then she kind of turned towards like making art instead of creating musical art. And she made that choice, and she was a visual artist for years, and one of her good friends passed away, and that brought her back to music. And a couple of years ago, she put out an album that got a pretty big critical acclaim, and she just recently dropped a new album called Mazzy Fly that is probably going to be everybody's like top album of the year. Maybe like right up there in that top five, because it is out there and it is like nothing else that you're going to hear right now. It kind of melds like sweet like R&B vocals with like krautrock minimal electronica, you know, with just like kind of like synth wavy at times, but other times it's just really hard to put your finger on what's going on here. And it's just this sprawling epic of a concept album about this just like spiritual journey and like some really heavy historical stuff. And this is a song that really I really like this one along. It's called Under the Sun, and it's kind of just like kind of maybe like a child's nightmare. I don't know. This is crazy, but it's also just like really beautiful. And
I almost don't want to listen. I don't want to spoil this description. I feel like this could be anything.
It
but
could be.
Well, you know, let's check out some Spelling.
Thank you.
That was Under the Sun.
That song.
Spelling.
That song ends with 20 seconds of silence. Did you know this?
I didn't know that.
That's a move, right? That's a real flex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was great.
You just need a second to like decompress after that one.
Mm-hmm.
Very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Would you two be down to play a game with us this evening?
Sure.
It's an easy one. There are no wrong answers.
We're going to turn off all the lights. We're all going to stab straight ahead.
Oh, I'm great at this game.
We're going to spin around blindfolded six times and then stab straight ahead.
It's one of my favorite games from the young ones called Murder in the Dark.
This one is actually called, it's much easier. It's called Mood Music. And so basically what I want you both to do, and we'll help too, but I want to put yourself in the shoes of someone who's making a soundtrack for a moment. So I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to describe it to you. And you guys create the soundtrack for whatever tone you want to associate with that moment. So the first one...
Are we working together as like a team?
You can work together as a team. There are individual answers. I would be curious to hear from both of you. And again, no wrong answers. We're just here to have a little bit of fun. And I'm trying to revive this game because I really like it. And,
I like
you know,
this game too.
The first situation that I want you to think about soundtracking... Jeremy, this might be more for you, although Heidi, you can correct me if I'm making assumptions here, but I want you to think of someone walking very confidently across a public place with their fly down. What music, what would you want a soundtrack? And the reason I said that, Heidi, is because I until today, had never thought of women having their fly down. I don't think I've ever seen a woman in the real world with her fly unzipped. Is that a problem for women much as men?
I've totally been on the bus for a minute and then realized, oh, shit, I've been walking around for at least an hour with my zipper down. And
it's really funny because I'm wearing my old man pants today and I can't keep the zipper on these motherfuckers up. It just falls down.
I was wondering if it was maybe something with cut on pants because I've had pairs of pants myself as well where it's like, why won't the zipper just stay up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at a happy hour on Friday after work, and I was on my way to the bathroom, and I just, you know, was walking across this crowded bar, and I got in the bathroom and realized my fly had been down for that entire walk. And I was thinking, it's just like there's a
were you
certain
getting
kind
ready?
Of... yeah, I guess my zipper knew it was action time, and it just jumped itself down. But there's a certain kind of, like, tragic, buffoonish confidence to someone who's just strutting across a public place with their fly down. Their obliviousness almost makes it seem like they know, but that makes them seem more confident.
I really want it to be the Sanford and Sons theme song.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm feeling something kind of like sassy, jazzy, ragtimey. Like, that sounds real confident, but like, it's really easy to turn into like a clown.
Yeah.
That's my soundtrack for that one.
See, for me, it was going to be Rhinoceros by Smashing Pumpkins. A, because I love that song, but it's also very downtrodden, and it's sort of like, you know, it's kind of a bummer since it was me whose fly was down that entire time. I picture myself in slow motion to that song, and just a slow pan down to my unzipped pants, and I look like an idiot.
Or like Aphex Twin, like Window Licker.
Yes, that would be a really good one.
Yeah, I would do like the zoom in with like the slow piano sonata in the background, just the tragedy of it all. I would focus on the tragedy. Yeah, like some forlorn shit.
Just me slow-mo winking at someone, and meanwhile my fly is just totally down.
Just sad piano.
Yeah, you're smiling at anyone and you just look like a creep.
Yeah. Yeah. Ordering a drink, I look like a creep. Yeah. Okay, that's pretty good. So there's the second one I want you to think about. And you can take a little more personal approach with this one. If you were to either become the president or the first lady or first mister, what would your like hail to the chief be? If you could change it into anything that you wanted.
Like who you, okay.
Like when you walk into a room, the presidential, regalia is what song? For me, it's Hit 'Em Up by Tupac.
Oh, that'd be pretty good. I kind of want mine
raw.
To be. I want mine to be like M.O.P. like Annie Up.
That's pretty
like
good
fucking,
too.
Gets like fucking buck wild every time I come into a room. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Or
if I was the first Mister, if my wife was the president, I think I would go with like I'm Real with Ja Rule. Cause I'm real. That would be a good first Mister song.
Yeah. Rain and Blood.
that would be amazing.
Like, fucking no question. Fucking Rain in Blood. That'd be mine.
I love that you're just really leaning into the, yeah, like, fucking, the tyranny of it.
Fucking Slayer, babe.
Or like Pantera, Walk. Yeah, right? That opening riff. Like every time you walk into a room.
Yeah, every time.
Can I just like go with Dope Smoker and that like spirit of being at work and being like, all right, we'll put your album on, but can I just put on one song? Like just walk into the room and it's like, all right, this press conference is going to be like 1 hour. Oh, shit. The song's still playing. I got to go.
Like, you just Dope Smoker filibuster.
Yeah.
Just like there's my entrance and exit music.
Yeah, that's like the best service industry move. Like when you're trading songs at work and like you don't like anything that the people you're working with do. And you're like, okay, you guys can do whatever you want, but I want to put on one song first.
Yeah, just
and just
one,
put on Dope
just
Smoker
one.
And yeah.
Yeah,
or Mirror Reaper awesome. Or something where it's just like forever of a song.
The service industry does throw a lot of different people together. Do you find that a lot of your coworkers have terrible taste in music?
I've worked in places where I felt like I felt that very much so. But I work at the Florida Room, and everybody there's got just ripping taste in music.
Yeah, that's
like
it's a solid group there.
Yeah, it's a good crowd. And we get to play whatever we want.
So now, nice. Here's a subjective question. What do you define as terrible music? What is the opposite of your taste?
So the opposite of my taste, I'm, you know, it's like any kind of art. Like there's good art and there's bad art. And mm-hmm. what makes that is what's in it. Like, is there heart in it? Because if there's heart in it, the genre doesn't really mean much. There's stuff I don't really want to listen to all the time, but I can get down with pretty much any. What I can't get down with is the hollow ass, like not any love in it music.
Is that something that you have to feel, or is something that you just have to perceive in the music? Like, how do you put your finger on what that is?
I think that there's definitely a vibe to, like, music that doesn't seem like, it, like, there's not substance, mm-hmm. you know? And I guess that's a little bit different for everybody, for sure. You know, everyone's different, but yeah.
So are you saying there's no love in 21 Pilots? How about Imagine Dragons?
Imagine Dragons is the definition of a hollow, empty, nothing band.
Yeah.
To me, that's it.
You wouldn't like them.
Like, I feel like Imagine Dragons is too down the middle even to play it like the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl would roll their eyes at how just like corny that shit is. Mm.
That Thunder song where they just say Thunder.
Oh, Thunder, like, Thunder, Thunder. It reminds me of, I don't know.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I know this stuff because of my daughter.
Yeah.
The younger
Hazel's
generation.
But then it's weird because it's like she'll listen to like Katy Perry, Imagine Dragons, Bjork, Neurosis.
Yeah, she's
just kind of all across the board. So like maybe there is some mild, like I feel like going back to like if it's there or not, that like people can tell when you're actually meaning what you're doing. Like I don't feel like mm-hmm. I could do like a fake top 40 album and have people like it because they'd know it was contrived. Like that it was just like, I hate this music. Like, so maybe there is something in Imagine Dragons that's like mildly some shred of like the drummer maybe really likes what he's doing.
Oh, for sure.
Do they even have a drummer?
They definitely have a mandolin player.
The mandolin player loves
mm-hmm. what he's doing.
He does.
But they're not a bluegrassy band. They don't really.
No,
they don't earn their mandolin.
They kind of change things.
You ain't earned your mandolin, mm-hmm. son.
It's more of like a dubstep wob wob. Man.
Oh.
How old is your daughter?
She's 9.
9, okay. So she's kind of just absorbing it all right now.
Oh yeah.
Just figuring out what she likes. That's cool.
Yeah, Hazy lives in the moment.
Yeah, and I think she very much has also the belief that like there's two kinds of music and it's just good music and bad music.
Yeah.
And it's hard to put your finger on what makes one the other, but it's just kind of like, nah, it doesn't matter like what genre it is. Like it either like feels like it has a soul or it doesn't.
Do you guys remember, you know, when we were younger and it was very important what kind of music you liked? Did you have that experience? Like when I was a teenager, it was very important that people knew that I liked
Guns
punk rock, punk rock music, or
oh,
something
yeah,
like that.
I
know
like
how much I love,
and I did not dress.
Oh, yeah.
I did not dress like a punk person. Dress like almost exactly like I do right now. Almost nothing has changed about me. But like that was an important part of my identity. It's interesting that kids maybe just like are going to be so open to new things musically that it'll be just good or it'll be bad.
The younger ones are, I feel like, a lot more well-rounded. Like the Click stuff, or maybe, you know, like my son's older, but like, you know, like it didn't matter as much, except for like, you know, all the cool kids in Portland are punk kids. Yeah. So it was like my kids right. at school are picking on me, and I'd see him and I'd be like, really, the kid with the green hair is picking on you? And he's like, good.
The tables have turned.
Dude, yeah, and he was a little weirdo too, but I was just like, oh, y'all little just little weirdos figuring it out.
When I was a kid, I always wanted to be like super punk rock, but I would try and like sneak in little things into my wardrobe, and my best friend would be like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? You can't pull that off. Why are you trying to wear a butt flap like nothing else? Like, you can't do that. Or you can't wear that huge spiked wrist gauntlet just out of nowhere and be that dude. But he was right.
You would just throw in one element?
Well,
like
I mean,
that?
I was trying to work it in. What I really wanted was like full fucking like battle vest, like Liberty spikes, Doc Martens. I wanted to
gas
go like
mask.
Pull in like cross punk. But he was like, dude, you can't just do that overnight. Like, you gotta like, you don't even listen to that kind of music exclusively. You listen to all this other stuff. Because I was also listening to like The Doors really heavy at that time and stuff. And he was yeah. like, you're not punk. And he'd call me out. He was very into keeping me on my shit. So, you know.
What were you guys yeah. listening to when you were 14, 15? And Heidi, you were getting into a band at that time. What was
oh,
in your
man.
Rotation?
I was like, all that Melvin shit. And like, you know, yeah, everything 1996, 1995 was like, I just, yeah, I really liked heavy stuff. I was raised on a farm. And like country western were the types of music we listened to, and then I got into
both kinds of music.
Yeah, both. Yeah, oh yeah, no, right. And some church stuff too. It was real cool. But my folks are both like really into, you know, my dad plays guitar and my mom sings and all that stuff. But like I got into, you know, rock and roll and stuff on the radio, and they got into punk like really quick because I was just like, I want to see how hard this gets.
Mm-hmm.
And then got like, yeah, like into metal and all that.
Who was plugging you into that stuff?
Kids at school. Okay. I had like two kids at school that would get tapes from town, and then we'd go into town and I'd like know where to look for the records and went on that. And then we'd go over to Santa Cruz. We'd sneak out and go to Santa Cruz and like
mm-hmm.
go to actual record stores that had like actual stuff, and they get the little liner notes and all that shit.
Read right. who they thanked.
Yeah.
Find more albums.
Yo, yeah. Who the other guy looks cool. I bet you his record's cool. And sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it was.
Yeah.
How do your kids find music now? Like, what is your 9-year-old doing to find stuff? Is she just like scouring the internet now, or how does it work for kids these days?
I have no idea.
Because there are no more liner notes.
I have no idea how it works for 27-year-olds these days.
That's true, yeah.
But
27 is far enough away to be remote.
Devices. She probably says, like, Siri, suggest me some new music. I have no... But, yeah, she's on Spotify a bunch. I know
I
she talks to her friends.
I was listening to a song the other day, and my kid was like, oh, I heard that in Fortnite. Because somebody else was listening to it in the background on their headphones, you know? So they heard it, like, through the game.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I was like, oh, shit, you're finding out about music because people are, like fucking taking over, like, the feed on your...
But what if people started doing, like, DJ sets to a game of Fortnite?
This has happened, actually. That's a very good point. Minecraft, a couple of months back, did their own Firefest, and it was, like, Marshmello and Chainsmokers and a couple of these big like mainstream DJs did a full 3-day festival on Minecraft. You had to go to the server and you could walk
yes.
around the festival grounds, and then
so
there
it was
DJs.
A virtual DJ.
It was a virtual DJ festival that actually
wow.
happened on a Minecraft server with like top tier DJs who get like millions.
That
know,
definitely created. Seems like the future to me.
Yeah,
but it also seems like it's pushing us toward living in a virtual world and like soaking our bodies in like a bath of mm-hmm. vitamins and minerals and not really living in the real world at all.
I'm planning on going to Pickathon this year as a drone. I just want to like I'm just gonna have a drone fly in, and I think that's gonna be really popular this year because I'm just gonna like fly up on the main stage and just right front. It's a good view.
Well, so from like hyper new music to some old stuff. I know the second song that you guys brought for tonight has got an interesting story. You guys brought some Ramses. Is
yeah.
that the name of it? Tell us a little bit about the second track you'd like to play tonight.
So Ramses was a band from London in the mid-60s to mid-70s. And they were, it was mostly a couple, and they would have people come and play with them. They were also a cult.
And it was a cult of two, right?
It was a cult of two.
That's amazing.
And whoever else around wanted to like join in on the fun.
Yeah. They worshipped the Pharaoh Ramses and believed that his spirit was split up into the two of them. Planned for like 20 years. This ritual where like the stars would be lined up in a manner that would suggest that Ramses' spirit was coming back to Earth. And then they killed themselves in ritual suicide to reunite Ramsey with the soul with the body.
And it worked.
And it worked.
Yeah, and it worked.
They were successful.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why we have all this. Yeah.
Thank you. Shit.
But they were like...
Shout out to Ramsey.
They were like really, really talented and really far ahead, I feel like. And they've been a really big influence on what we do.
That's awesome. Well, they were definitely on some other shit, and I cannot wait to hear it.
What is, I guess, two then is the minimum number that it requires to be a cult?
I think so.
Like, legally, you can be a cult with as few as two people.
I guess that makes sense.
It's like being able to drown in, like, half an inch of water, something like that.
I just can't think of a single person.
Yeah, well, as one, you would be considered a crazy person.
I see.
Like, and I think generally people would consider a cult larger.
I think if you're just one, you're a prophet.
But I think that there is something... Yeah, there's something to be said.
That's a gentle way to put it.
Like,
crazy.
A whole, like, mysticism or whatever that goes about it. Yeah, where it's like someone has to somehow be declared a prophet or, like...
I think your cult can be whatever you want, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a message for you kids out there.
That's a message for our listeners. Start a cult.
Yeah, cult it.
Invite us.
Yeah.
Come check it out.
I'm looking for a cult to join. I have not found the right one.
I'm looking for a fun weekend. What's your cult like?
I've been to several networking events, and I just haven't found that right
cult. All these cults are real boring. Can you work in some, like, heavy drugs?
Yeah. Culture is important to me in my cult.
It wouldn't be a cult without culture.
Yeah, you can't spell cult without culture. Really, not in Drew Lazare's cult joining guide.
Yeah. No, cults have really lost their edge, man. We need to bring back some just epic.
It's commodified.
The main problem I have with cults is they're all very religious. And they're always just like, this is how it is.
Yeah.
I want one that's not.
Yeah. But I still want the cult vibe.
Yeah.
But I don't. And I also don't care for the suicide.
Oh, yeah.
It's too often
the suicide. You don't have to have suicide to
have
a
cult.
It's
not a requirement.
I definitely don't. It's just those are the only ones you're ever going to hear about.
Exactly. Those are the ones that get all the
press. You're not going to hear about the cult that's like totally kicking it and like everything's just chill.
Yeah, they got a commune that works. You know, everybody's got good veggies to eat. Like everything's real chill. You don't hear about that on the news. It's always the suicide cults.
Or the cults that's like poisoning the local, like, salad bar.
Yeah, no, man, that's not the vibe.
No.
Yeah, there's no like 50 free love, fun loving hippies are totally stoked in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that shit's dope.
Watch the story on the news at 8.
Here's people having a good time.
My cult's all about just like helping each other out and like fucking and like murdering cops and just like keeping it chill.
Just exactly. Yeah, good vibes.
But fuck
good
those vibes. Cops.
Yeah,
stay out of our fucking commune.
Well, I am eager to check out some Ramses because I feel like I've got something on my mind that I can't wait to be disavowed of. So, what's the name of this track?
This track is called Life Child. La 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 la
So that my spirit could be free, Lapcha. We left you hanging on a hill. Why won't we ever do your will?
That was Ramses. Wow. I almost wish they hadn't ritualistically killed themselves.
Right?
Man, but way to fucking stick to the storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That song wouldn't committed sound the same art. If they hadn't, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta appreciate folks who just really go for it.
Yeah. That's some authenticity.
Yeah.
That comes through.
It's real shit, man.
They believed in it. That's for sure.
I'm excited that you guys are in the creation mode right now and that there's some new stuff in the works. And I want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned like time in the woods and a lot of the sounds and those feelings that you incorporate into your music. But you guys shared with us these sounds of ice, thin ice being skated on, and the kind of the pings and the warbles that ice makes. And you guys have been incorporating those kind of natural sounds into your songs. How does that work? How do you take that kind of organic sound and incorporate it into something more artificial and created?
We go looking for sounds like a lot on the internet a lot, and then BBC, just like their sound library going back 60 years. They just released all of it for copyright free.
Wow.
So you could awesome. Go, there's a, yeah, the Smithsonian did another one, like a big dump, sound dump recently, where you can go on and purchase usage for stuff. And then, yeah, and then Jeremy's a fucking genius and does all his crazy, like, I took like a 2 second snippet of this like huge thing you sent me, like turns yeah, it like, into this like layered soundscape.
Like with the ice sounds, it's like maybe like 30-second sample divided into 64 sections that randomly Whoa. Choose which section it'll play. There's three of those stacked on each other, and then one that's like slowed down to where it's almost stopped. So it's just like all the sub content, like.
Oh man, I can't wait to hear that. That sounds so crazy.
But
do those sounds become the foundation for the song, or are they something you apply to another set of riffs that you guys have been working on?
Well, we've done it. We've done them as like layers, like an atmospheric layer type situation. And then we have songs that we've written, like taking the beat and subbed in the sounds. So like Amanita, the footsteps, like the beat's footsteps and leaves, and then a tree falls, and that's like a break between sections. So kind of done both.
Yeah.
Do more of all of it. I think we should do that.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
With things like this, we've talked a lot about how it is about kind of your personal expression, and obviously the songs you create are a reflection of you guys and your relationship and things that are personal. But what do you hope that other people absorb from your music? Do you ever try to elicit a specific feeling from other people, or do you leave that to the listener?
I leave it to the listener. I feel like most people, myself included, like, and I think Heidi, like, there's like a calm to it, even when it's real thick and heavy, like it, with all the low end, just kind of feels like a big hug. So like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's going to vibe off it however they want. Everyone interpret art different. But yeah, it's very soothing even when it's kind of aggressive. And we're both screaming, and it's about the end of humanity, like kind of the vibe of the band. Like it's sort of telling this story about global warming and, you know, people's relationships to the earth and stuff. And so it's heavy content, but I don't know. I think that you have to remain a little bit hopeful in there, you know? So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm totally down for anybody feeling however they want to feel.
However they want to
feel. Yeah. That's such a personal thing, I think.
If you two could make, it's still the two of you, if you could make any other kind of genre of music, what would you choose?
As the two of us in a band.
Yeah, if someone said, okay, we're taking away your doomy, naturalistic, organic soundscapes. You can't do those anymore. What kind of music would you make instead?
Ska band.
Dude, yeah.
Two person ska band.
That would be so awful.
Well, I mean, it would involve more people, but we've talked about having a four-piece band that was four bass players, and everybody gets one string, and then because you're gonna want to play something other than just the one string, you have to string your bass up with just the one string, and it's just like,
I like it.
I really quickly called the A string. I was just like, I get the A string, and I feel like that project would probably
I get
be
the G string,
like more thrashy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we'd make a great country and western duo.
I think we could do some good country and western.
Oh man, that'd be fucking awful.
I would like to hear you guys do that with your screaming vocals and kind of like this horrific two-part harmony for country and western music. That would be incredible.
Would that be like Days of the New?
The shelf in the room.
You have been bringing up Days of the News so much recently.
That's the most that anybody, what you just said is the most that anybody's talked to me about Days of the New in, what is it, 20 years now or whatever?
And Drew's been waiting.
And I've got some thoughts on Days of the New.
Do you have any thoughts on cannibalism?
Oh, you had to fucking seriously. Jeremy always brings up cannibalism.
This is great. I have two thoughts.
I look delicious.
Well, I always tell people that, hey, if we're ever in a survival situation, don't feel bad about eating me. Go to me first. Let's not draw straws. Let's just eat me. Let's get that out here right now. We don't want to have this argument when push comes to shove.
Jeremy's like, sick.
Yeah, when we're starving, we need to know that someone is on the table. Let that be me. I'm fine with that. The other thing is, don't you think that if
someone... I have a delicious dick.
I have a t-shirt that asks that question. It's a real conversation starter. Don't you think I have a delicious dick? You can't sell that shirt.
No, I've heard that actually. Like, if you're a cannibal, you don't eat the dick because it sucks. And it's like just not, it's not good eating. No.
That wasn't my thought, by the way. Oh, okay, I've never thought of that, but great t-shirt. Don't you think if someone prepared you like a little, toothpick sample of a delicious human that you would try it right now? You're not starving. You can go to the grocery store and buy non-human human food.
I would definitely need to know where the sample came from.
And that's how I'm screaming. Like, as a vegan, because there's got to be one in every room in Portland. There has to be at least one fucking required. Vegan. I want to know where this self was sourced.
Like locally sourced people.
I want to be like, hey, dude, did you say it was okay? And oh, yeah, totally, man. And I'm like, yeah, let me try a human. That's
and did you cook it good?
Farm-to-table human is a farmer.
I want some, like, sweet baby back ribs off a baby, you know? I want that shit cooked up
a baby's
good.
Baby back.
If I'm going to eat human, I want that shit, like, sous vide.
You wouldn't be afraid you'd get a taste for it.
Well, see, my thing. The thing that I've always assumed with cannibalism is that there's the tribe that calls people long pigs because apparently we taste like pigs, which kind of makes sense because pig hearts are the transplant. So
I've always pictured myself as pretty much a long pig. So that's amazing that that's actually a term.
And pigs, delicious. Like, which then makes me wonder, because there are plenty of animals in the natural world that are cannibalistic, and, like, they don't think it's morally wrong. We're the ones who throw that on there.
No, it's just a good source of protein for them.
Maybe we really like pigs because they taste like people.
Yeah.
And because their hearts are so transplantable.
Yeah, and it turns out everything doesn't taste like chicken. It tastes like people.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken tastes like people.
We're the universal flavor.
Chicken is people.
The vanilla of meat.
Yeah.
Vanilla meat.
Exactly. Or the table salt of food. It's just in almost everything. I don't think that I would want to know any of the things you would want to know about the food, the human sample. I think I would definitely eat it, and I would ask no questions
asked, without even looking. Close your eyes. What part of the human is it?
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I would ask that. I would. Preparation questions are important.
What cut are we talking about here?
I'm running just like eating like
flank
a finger
steak
bone,
or yeah.
I don't want a finger.
You know the when you like squeeze the skin on your knee, is that
like
good
like
on people?
I bet made
you make like a pepperoni out of that or something.
I bet you could fry that and it'd be all right.
Yeah, fried knee skin.
Yeah, that'd be just like a really good like pork.
It's like pancetta, right? It's like a very thinly sliced. Yeah. Okay.
I swear to God.
I'm sorry, Heidi.
You have no idea how we died. And then we're gonna do something.
This is my conversation starter.
I think it's pretty cool. Fucking Jeremy winds up being like, "So, how do you feel about cannibalism?"
It's a valid question.
I feel pretty good about it.
I thought we were gonna get all the way through this thing without you asking.
I mean, I distinctly also remember being a kid and that movie about the like Argentinian rugby team that crashed
alive.
And they end up eating each other. I remember being like 8 or 9 years old, and real early in the movie, I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ, there's food all around you guys. Like, they're dead. Eat them. Like,
you know what I thought?
Like, sure, don't kill a live one, but you've got frozen, preserved, hundreds of pounds of meat right there. Just fucking eat.
You know what I thought was weird about that? They went straight to the butt in that movie.
Did
you see that shit? Did you guys notice that? They just carved a big old chunk of butt out and cooked that up. Like,
well, it's fatty. It's fleshy.
That's not the first thing I'd eat, though, on a human.
It's the largest muscle.
Am I missing out? Am I missing the boat here?
Well, also, maybe that's it. That, there's like nothing necessarily human about a piece of ass on a plate. Whereas someone's someone's arm looks like someone's arm, you know? If you're eating a wing for a human, there's something more human about that, I think.
Well, yeah. That's like in Japan, they don't want the food to look like the animal. Like, at all. Like, so you, like, if it's a bird, you want it to in no way reference looking like a bird. Like, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. A little butt on a plate. Like, it could be a mushroom cap.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You never know. Could be.
Boy ham.
Portobello.
Well, we usually talk about Taco Bell, but this is Taco Bell adjacent, I would say. So I'm glad that you brought this up. Yeah. This is,
you put a fucking chunk of ground human meat in a quesarito, and I'll eat that shit up.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I've eaten some.
The Hermano Taco.
Yeah.
It is delicious.
And it's your brother.
Yeah. Bob Akoa.
Bob Akoa. Oh,
God. Nice. Nice.
Et cetera. No, that's good. I'm glad we talked about food.
Yeah.
Andy, I think I don't know if we have time for one more because we played some long tracks tonight. So we're gonna save round two for you at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Before we let you guys go, though, obviously you're working on material now. I always like to ask artists, what do you hope happens in the future of this project? If you could kind of draw your ideal future for the band, what would that look like?
I would love to get more cabs. So that means playing better shows. Bigger shows in bigger places, because it's just mean to have more cabs and amps if you're in a smaller space.
So you want to be able to justify some more purchases?
Yes. Yeah. Well, not. I mean, purchases are like things, because Jeremy could build. I got a guy for a lot of that.
Okay.
You know?
So some custom. Nice.
Some custom work. But yeah, just make more stuff and play shows with our friends and go on little tours. We can go camping. You know, I mean, like, yeah. It's fun and it's a good excuse to like hang out with your friends and like share experiences, man. You know, as cheesy as it is, I got visual art for my job. Like,
yeah,
you know, if we sell some records, I'm not gonna be bummed about it. But like, for really, it's just I just have a damn good time doing it. Yeah,
very cool.
Get some tour going this fall.
Yeah, probably gonna try to tour this fall.
Awesome.
When the produce is cheap and the camping's still available.
I love that that's how you plan your tours, because that sounds so much fun.
Yeah, it's dope.
Do it when there's good fruit and there's good camping.
Oh, going down the West Coast when produce is in. It's
and
amazing.
Weed's legal everywhere. And like, you don't have to worry about this shit. And we just go camping and fucking eating good salads for 2 weeks. It's awesome.
I want to go on tour.
That's one tour band.
I might start a band just during like harvest seasons. Do this shit.
And that's one tour band that doesn't like stink like farts.
No.
It hell
mine
it
still
does.
Does.
Oh, it does.
Mine still,
okay.
Yeah.
The vegetation is
veg ass is real.
Okay.
Well, we got an episode title.
Veg ass is real. Well, you guys are playing Stumpfest this year, April 19th at Mississippi Studios with the killer lineup.
So
that's an awesome honor and well deserved. So is that the next time people can catch you here in Portland?
We're playing on the 30th of March at Green Noise with Volcanic Pellicles and Flume.
All ages and free.
Yeah, it's all ages. Bring the kids.
Awesome.
A huge shout out to Green Noise for doing such awesome bills, all ages in their awesome record store.
Right. Green Noise. God damn it. Yeah.
I'm bummed that it didn't work out up here on Foster, but it's going great where it's at, so hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm stoked it's next to my house.
It used to be Mike's our house.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But yeah, and then Stumpfest, and then we're playing with Dark Numbers and Pet Weapon in May.
Oh, awesome. Pet Weapon's great friends of ours. That'll be a killer bill as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. And people can find your music on Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff we played tonight is there. So people should definitely check out that. And do you guys keep your shows up on Facebook page and stuff like that?
Yeah, we have the Facebook thing and the Instagram. And trying to be better about more social media.
Yeah, we hate the social media, but we're trying to stay on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, shows are usually up on the Facebook page and probably recording before tour, I would imagine, this summer. Awesome. So you can expect later this year to have another.
Well, be sure to let us know when it's all wrapped up, because we'd love to feature it and let people know how things are evolving, because I'm sure it's going to sound fresh and cool. So thank you guys both for being here. This was a blast.
Yeah,
we really appreciate you coming on and playing some rad tunes. And thank all of you out there. Really grateful for you listening to this episode. Hope you had a
good time.
Especially you, Sean. Yeah, Sean. I know he's listening.
There's a lot of Sean's listening, but the one who I'm talking about knows exactly
who he is. He knows.
He does.
Well, for all you Sean's out there, if you want to reach out to Andy, Nate, and I, you can do so via email at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's H-A-U-T-E, garbagepodcast@gmail.com. One favor I do want to ask is, if everyone is down with it, please go and rate and review the show. Trying to kind of, you know, plant the seeds a little further and a little deeper this year, so that really helps
people. The
whole
iTunes rating and reviewing thing is it's dying, but we need our fucking stats up before it dies, so jump in there, because
it's dying?
It's falling apart. People are trying to review things, and they're not showing up, and stats are starting to matter less and less. iTunes is
crumbling.
Well,
they matter to me. They matter to me, damn it.
They matter to Drew, so please do this for Drew.
Do me a solid.
Do this.
But
and also, while you're doing that, don't tell anybody about this podcast. Don't you dare tell your mom.
Andy's anti-campaign continues.
I'm gonna fucking make us so popular by not telling anyone.
As long as you're not consuming our content, don't follow Andy at Hurt Gerbish on Instagram either.
Don't do that. Do not send me pictures of you at the fucking Taco Bell cantina in Chicago, because I'm fucking real jealous about that, Russ.
What are we going out on tonight, Andy?
This is a fucking Portland mainstay that unfortunately has decided to call it quits. This is a band. No. You probably know them by Hang the Old Year. These days they're going by Old Year.
But oh, sure.
If you had the chance to see them last week, March, I think maybe 9th, they played the High Water Mark on their last show with a band they were good friends with, Calyx, who was on tour from Pittsburgh, and Gaytheist. And that was probably a dope-ass show.
Yeah, so this is just a cruel joke to those of you who can never go back in time and see that show.
They decided to hang up that Old Year, and they put out one last album called Farewell. That show was actually the release of that album. And I highly recommend checking it out and just enjoying the shit out of this band that unfortunately is done. And maybe if we listen to it hard enough, they'll get back together. But this song's called Kerosene Hearts, and it's kind of like, this is just like their song about kind of just like everybody just calling out shitty people in all forms of media and just being like, what if we all say no at the same time?
Fuck yeah.
Very cool. Well, for Heidi and Jeremy of Glacial Fall, for Nate, for Andy, this is Drew. We will see you next week on Hot Garbage.